We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live!
Please remain silent while I am speaking. We have a lot to get through.
Put that cigarette out.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh my God, he's gonna puke! He's gonna puke!
He's fat!
You three guys want a war tonight? You got one!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here!
Shaken wrestling fans, it is Monday night, December 16th, and we just finished watching Raw, which aired live from Dallas, Texas at the American Airlines Center. And now it is time for us to congregate once again here on Mega Powers Radio for the MPR Raw Post Show. I'll be your host for this evening. Let's break it out once again. Why not? They're from Texas. I'm Mike Rootin' Tootin' Payton. Backing me up this evening from Smark Out Moments Smack Talk Podcast, Mr. Tony Mango. What's shaking, dude?
I don't care, cowboy name?
Tony Hoss Mango.
That's awful. I forgo future cowboy names for myself.
Okay. And also joining us, Steven Blimey Limey Wago.
That was fucking abysmal.
I couldn't give you a cowboy name, so you have to be like, you have to be the foreign chap to us here.
Right, you're officially banned from using any UK lingo.
Well, hello, gentlemen. We're here to talk about Monday Night Raw, so let's not waste all this time talking about these awesome nicknames I'm trying to give you guys. So let's go ahead and dig into the beginning of the show. We started with a fun little video package recapping last night's TLC pay-per-view, which I don't want to go too much into talking now. If you want to hear the full review of WWE's TLC, please check out smarkoutmoment.com, where you'll hear the Smack Talk podcast, where most of us, if not all of us, will be there giving our thoughts on it. Otherwise, you can always talk to us. Yeah, we're open to chatting about these things. But let's just give a quick go around here. Tony, how'd you feel about last night's pay-per-view?
I felt basically the same as tonight's episode of Raw. And it's essentially that it was good, but it wasn't good enough to really be great. It was just like a steady, decent pace throughout the whole night. And it did its job to be an entertaining thing, but not entertaining to the point where I'm ever going to say to somebody, you should have watched that. You missed it, man. Nothing like that. Just, it was okay.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, also joining us on the line, we got one more person joining the cast this evening, Mr. Sean Walker. Sean, what did you think about last night's TLC pay-per-view?
Disappointing.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it. I actually preferred Raw tonight, even though Teddy Long was in charge.
Now you specifically used the word disappointing. That means you had some type of expectations were beyond what you saw. What were you truly expecting to see there?
I don't know, a different finish, to be fair.
You wanted a fuck finish?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, I just find that odd after we had these months and months of fucked finishes. And if I recall correctly, you went on a hiatus from wrestling. You stopped watching.
For a few months, yeah.
And that was after Battleground, which, hey, that was a king of fucked finishes.
Well, you know, I'm a big Daniel Bryan fan. I'm allowed to have a temper tantrum.
Okay.
Does it count if you got fucked out of your fuck finish?
Oh, you just blew my mind.
Fuckception.
Oh my goodness. Steven, I remember you said you didn't get a chance to watch it. Did you go back and see it since last night, or are you still waiting?
I haven't got a chance, but based off the results of what I've seen, I've got mixed feelings about the whole show. I like that Orton won, I guess you can say, clean, since there was no interference, but I just didn't like what I heard about the CM Punk Shield match. So,
well, in that match's defense, at least that was the opening match and it was short, so it wasn't anything that really detracted from the show too much.
Yeah, I'm just, you know me, I'm kind of old school with that type of shit. I don't think that one guy should overcome three, at least not on that level.
Absolutely not. And not only did he win, the Shield got no offense in that match, which I think was absolutely despicable.
Yeah, you're definitely right. Both of those guys are being built up as people that main eventers can only really knock off, and the fact that CM Punk was able to defeat them on his own, it's just absolute bullshit.
Indeed. Well, Brian the Brain in the chat room, he's going to back me up here. He said he loved last night's pay-per-view, and so did Corey Krause. Thank you, guys. I thought last night's pay-per-view was quite possibly the best of all year, maybe the only other contender being SummerSlam, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought we had probably was the best Divas match of the year. An amazing tag team matchup. The main event was a lot of fun. I saw some unique things, such as when he handcuffed John Cena and John Cena completely unlatched the corner turnbuckle and climbed up the ladder and was bashing Orton with it. And then Orton eventually pulls him down into the ladder. It was an awesome series of events. A lot of people will say it wasn't their best matchup. And hey, of course it's not going to be. These guys had like 15 matches. But I still think it was a very good one, especially for this era. And it felt fresh because we haven't seen them in a long time. I, unlike Tony Mango, would recommend going out of your way to see this pay-per-view. I think this was the shining example of all the potential that we should have had through 2013 finally being on a pay-per-view. And that's all I got to say about that.
If I was going to pick a pay-per-view of the year, though I technically haven't seen TLC, so I can't say too much, I'd say SummerSlam. If not just for the two big matches on the card.
Mm-hmm. That's about all SummerSlam has. You have to see this tag match. This tag match blew me away. It reminds me a lot of, what was it, No Way Out 2011 or 2012. I should know. I was there. But the whole card was terrible. There was nothing going on there. But out of nowhere, I don't even think it was announced either, just like this one. They had a four tag team matchup, and it had primetime players. It had Usos, and I forget who else was. I think Primo and Epico were in it. And it just completely blew everyone away when this match came together.
Yeah, sometimes you get diamonds in the rough on like a really shitty card. So I'll check out I'll check out the matches I want to see, but I'm just gonna stay away from the handicap match.
I think that's the two matches you can absolutely avoid. Funny enough, that's the funniest thing I think you could say about this pay per view is watch it, but skip the Daniel Bryan and the CM Punk matches.
Oh really?
Who would have ever thought you would say that?
See, I would think that you could skip the Intercontinental Title match and the Brodus Clay match and the Miz match. Particularly the Miz match.
No, so I thought the Miz and Kofi had a unique matchup between those two, and I think that's the thing is a lot of people didn't get. Kofi hurt his leg early in the match, and so it slowed him down. He didn't get to do a lot of the high-action stuff, and eventually it did get those dreaded boring chants, which is terrible. I think it's unfortunate they got that. I think people just couldn't appreciate a good old-school slow match, and that's what those guys went out there and had. And I think it's great that they're trying something different between all their matches because they've been in a lot of them lately, so good for them.
As someone who didn't see that match, how did it work? Did one of them particularly play heel, or was it pretty much even?
Ooh. I would say it was more Miz heel.
I would say it was more Miz heel, but at the same time, they had that whole thing on the pre-show where Kofi slapped Miz like a little bitch. Like
Miz is a little bitch.
To be fair, did you see what Miz looked like on the pre-show?
Yeah. Absolutely.
He looked like a fucking dork. He deserved it.
Oh my goodness. As far as the Intercontinental title match, I guess you could skip it. I think it was a fine short little match. It was a shame we couldn't get more time, but those guys will likely face each other again. Love Damian Sandow's new shirt. That was probably the best thing I could say about the match, so that maybe that isn't that so good about it. What was the other one you said to skip?
Oh, the Brodus Clay and R-Truth one.
That would have been good if they didn't just do the exact same thing tonight to a better degree.
That match had no place being on the pay-per-view. It should have been a Raw match.
It was filler, which I think a lot of the pay-per-view last night kind of felt like.
Yep.
All right, so let's start digging into Raw tonight, guys. We'll get, like I said, you want to hear a further expanded review of last night's TLC pay-per-view, check out smartoutmoment.com for the Smack Talk podcast coming later this week. So at the beginning of Raw, we had the entire locker room emptied out onto the stage. Stephanie McMahon and Triple H inside the ring. They invite out the new unified champion, spoiler, Randy Orton, who walks out holding both of the titles around his shoulders. I think it's unfortunate they can't just choose one of them, but I guess they're saving that for a WrestleMania thing. I don't know. John Cena ends up interrupting him. He admits that he was defeated by Randy Orton and congratulates him. So, hey, that's nice to see good sportsmanship like that displayed and John Cena not just trying to hog everything by himself for now. Instead, Cena decides to put the spotlight over onto Daniel Bryan and said that just like he promised Daniel Bryan he should get a shot, Orton should be the defending champion and give Bryan that chance. Orton says, I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to listen to anybody, but is quickly reminded by Stephanie McMahon that there are people he has to listen to. And before this whole spiel is done, Triple H and Stephanie, they go over, they have a little conference between each other, and they decide that the main event of tonight will be Daniel Bryan facing Randy Orton. Unfortunately, not for the title, which I think was a bit of an odd decision. Let's go around here, get your guys' thoughts on our opening segment here. Sean, you're a big Daniel Bryan fan. I know you got to be happy to see Daniel Bryan at least kept being involved back in the main event. Fortunately, it wasn't for the title, which I'm sure you got to be bummed about. I know something that a lot of us were fearful of was the Wyatt family still looming and looking out for Daniel Bryan, and it's not quite done yet. I mean, we didn't see anything too much with it tonight. We saw a promo with the Wyatts, and we'll get more into that later on. But for now, Bryan looks to be safe, and he got to go out there and have a good long match with Randy Orton.
I actually enjoyed this match, the main event, to be fair. I thought it was a lot better than the entire TLC pay-per-view, in my opinion. But we'll get back to that when it's that time. But yeah, I'm really glad that Cena put over Bryan for not the first time this year.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to Cena.
Absolutely. Tony, how'd you like this whole opening spiel that we got here? You know, it's always important when we have all these people out on the top of the ring. Did you think this still felt important, or is this starting to get overdone lately?
I don't know if I would have done it for as many times as they've been doing it lately, because it didn't feel as special as it would have if they hadn't have done it a couple times in recent memory. But I still think that when you have everybody out there, it has some kind of an aura about it that something big's going to happen. Maybe it's because that happened last night. If it would have just been, you know, Randy Orton winning one of the championships and we still had another title and they just, you know, they had before where they had the Randy Orton coronation and it was just another championship, that wouldn't have meant as much. But yeah, I thought it was pretty decent. One thing I thought was kind of funny though was when they started showing the John Cena promo part, Ryback in the background is swinging his hands and he looks so bored out of his mind. He's like, he doesn't want to be there. He kind of reminded me of like a little kid that you drag along to like when you're like doing errands and he's just kind of like, I want to go. He's just like moving back and forth and he's got this look on his face like, oh, this is taking forever. Like, that's really not going to help out your position, Ryback.
Just like Mrs. Dad. Can we go home yet?
When am I going to get to hold the titles? Why doesn't Randy Orton share?
I'm hungry.
Feed me more.
God damn it, you beat me to it.
Wasn't the match later on for the title?
Oh, I guess it was, because, you know, Brian the Brain in the chat room just said it was as well. I couldn't tell. It seemed like they never really stated that it was to me, but maybe I just missed it.
Yeah, I got to grope with that. I think whenever you have a title match, you should do that whole thing where you don't announce them when they come down to their music, but do it in the ring and kind of make a big deal out of it. They never really did it.
Yeah, I don't even think I saw the referee hold the titles up or anything like that. Like, the whole pomp and circumstance, like you said, announcing them in the ring, referee holding the titles up, checking their knee pads and all that, they usually do that for their title main events.
Not even the graphic, I don't think.
No, I didn't see that either. So maybe that's why I'm thinking it's not, but it's possible it could have been, and they just skipped all that crap. Like, ah, fuck it. Kind of like they did at WrestleMania this year. Ah, fuck it. Why have pomp and circumstance?
Right. What's with that whole pyro and trying to make a spectacle out of this?
America the Beautiful? Nah, fuck America.
Have like 40 extra minutes of pre-show of people talking.
Oh, goodness gracious. So before we start going bashing WrestleMania, Steven, what did you think about our whole spiel in this beginning here, setting up our main event with Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton?
There's one thing that irritated me during this promo, and John Cena's got this whole thing where he's like, you get a title match, and you get a title match. He gave one to Ryback, he gave one to Daniel Bryan. It's just like back in the day, you just never had guys that would gladfully give up a title share match up to the next babyface that was behind him. Everyone wanted a shot at it. It just kind of seemed like it demeaned the fact that he wants a championship shot. It's kind of like, yeah, fuck it, I get him all the time anyway. But that's just me nitpicking at that. As far as the whole promo, I think it dragged on a little bit, but it was what it was. It did a nice job of getting Daniel Bryan over, and the fans were into it. So if it was a bit shorter, I think I would have liked it more.
I don't want to forget to plug our call-in number, folks. If you want to join the conversation here, we have a number you can dial in with your cell phone or landline if you're still living in the 90s. Area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. Also, if you're on the broadcast page, you can click the little Skype icon at the top. That'll dial you in with your Skype. And also, we have a chat room. If you scroll on down, we got a few cool dudes keeping things going on down there, keeping things fun. In addition to the conversation we're having with audio, you could also keep a cool little thing going with text there.
Make sure to check out our beeper number.
We are now on Snapchat, just like WWE. So be sure to check that out.
Remember to download our app so you can vote in.
What the hell is Snapchat anyway? Like, I hear people talking about this. From what I understand, it's like you text somebody a picture, but it's only available for a limited time. What's
so it's like worse tout?
Yeah, what's fun about this?
I don't know.
Kids these days. technology.
Corey Kraft says, I believe it is for dick pics. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Oh, yes. Bad News Barrett. Bad News Barrett returned this week. Thank goodness. I only got one segment, but you know what? It was fun. He came out. He's got a modified little podium now. It's got a bigger Bad News Barrett logo on it. He had a gavel this week that he was slamming on. He didn't have a bird. He had a gavel, and he was slapping it on there, and he's pretty much calling to order like a judge, and he brought his bad news, which I believe had something to do with the lottery, which I didn't even know was a big thing this week, but apparently it is, and the sad, harsh reality that everyone's just going to continue going on with their meager lifestyles. Kind of depressing, really. Hey, I'm glad Wade Bad News Barrett is back on the TV. We didn't get to see him last week, but yeah, I hope this continues. Any thoughts? Bad News Barrett?
This, you know what? I didn't like this one.
No?
No, I don't. You know what? It had more of a charm online where he just popped up in these more random, funny ways, and they just leave off going, Bad News Barrett. It was awesome. I don't like the way they're doing it now. The first couple of times it was funny, but tonight, I don't know. I don't know if it was just the bit that he chose to say. And I might like what he does next week, but this week I wasn't into it.
Yeah, I think that this joke fell pretty flat. And I like the gavel, but I think that they need to step the game up for this, because if this is going to be the average or the best that they can do, it's going to go nowhere.
Mm. Hang on, is he going to call it the ball gavel instead of the ball hammer instead?
You're clever. Got to watch out for that guy. So we had a tag team matchup between Cody Rhodes and Goldust against Big Show and Rey Mysterio. I guess there was an app poll or a WWE.com poll, something about this. I don't remember. But somehow Big Show and Mysterio won it, even though they've only been a tag team for 24 hours. And they also got the victory. And this wasn't a horrible match. Big Show actually did the majority of the offense for the team. So funny enough, you got Big Show and Goldust, these guys who are Attitude era stars, still holding things down here in 2013. Tony, anything?
I don't know if that's a testament to how good they are, or it's a shot in the face at all the other people that they're significantly better than most of the people on the roster.
Where do these guys get this fire from at the age that they are at now? Steven, where does a guy get that?
eBay.
I wanted you to say Walmart or something. If you wouldn't have said something like that, I would have been pissed.
What?
Shit, I don't know, man. I don't know where Goldust gets it from. I see most people get to that age and they're like, fuck it, I'm just going to get paid.
I know where they get it from. Dr. Hanukkah Burger.
Seems legit.
Steven, you dig in this, excuse me, Steven, Sean, you dig in this tag team thing that we got going on right now. We had a number of them throughout this night. This was only the first one we got to see. How you liking Big Show and Mysterio? Are they working for you?
I don't like Big Show anyways, and I don't like Rey Mysterio anyways, so this tag team is just, it's just dull to me. Putting it nicely. But yeah, Goldust had a really good showing. I thought Goldust stole the show in this tag team match.
We get an advertisement informing us that next week is going to be another special edition of Raw. Only it's not something stupid like going country. It's going Christmas! Yes, indeed. Raw Christmas next week. Damian Sandow playing Bad Santa. Mark Henry playing Good Santa. We got a couple vignettes for both of them where they were sitting in their chairs. They had their own personal Santa's Little Helpers, which AJ Lee, oh my goodness, really put me in the Christmas cheer mood. Indeed. and Mark Henry getting the Bellas, but also Dylan by his side. I'm surprised they didn't have Dylan come in and sit on his lap. Oh, but yeah. But the kid they did have come and sit on Mark Henry's lap. Oh, my
fucking
goodness.
Abysmal.
That face he had when he sat there. Oh, my goodness.
Shit, I'd be terrified if I had to sit on Mark Henry's lap.
Oh, Mark Henry's, he's a friendly giant guy. You see that smile? How could a kid be afraid of that?
He's good, Santa.
Have you not seen what he does?
Yeah, I see what he do. I feel you. We had a rematch from last night's pre-show. Fandango versus Dolph Ziggler. This night, Dolph Ziggler gets the win back. However, it's not a super decided win. No, he gets a roll-up. Yes, Dolph Ziggler finally debuts his 30th finisher, the roll-up. Steven, how you feel about Dolph Ziggler right now?
I think he should literally just chain every one of his finishers consecutively and pin people that way and finish it off with the roll-up. I don't know what the fuck you're going to do with Dolph Ziggler. He's in no man's land right now. He, as a heel, I don't like his promo work, and as a babyface, I don't like his promo work. As a wrestler, he's sure as hell entertaining, but if there's nothing, because there's no depth or storyline behind him, there's no reason to get invested in his in-ring work. So I don't know what you do with this guy right now. I think he's, as much as I enjoy him in-ring, I'm just lost on him. I don't know what to think about the guy.
Sean, are you still behind Fandango at this point?
You got to be behind Fandango, you know? Just like a summary. I would like to stand behind there all day long. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you there, buddy. How you liking Fandango's new outfits lately? He's going for sort of the Fabian gay pirate thing.
I don't really tend to notice, to be honest.
Oh, you know what? That's what they can call him if he loses the rights to Fandango. Fabian the gay pirate.
Goodness gracious.
I'd like to see him try to do that whole "you're not pronouncing it right."
Fabian the gay pirate.
Tony, I know you were a big believer of Dolph Ziggler around this time last year. How has he come full circle at this year? Has he made it to the promised land that he was supposed to be? Or has he just been an utter disappointment?
He got fucked over by one concussion, and that's the only thing that
No. Dolph Ziggler, not Fandango.
That's good. Nah, Ziggler needs something. I don't know what, but they can't just have him go from half-assed feud to half-assed feud and expect something to change. Whether that's Damian Sandow or Fandango, or if they saddle him with I don't know who's another person who's just like hanging around the mid card right now.
Paige.
Even if they put him with like the Miz, if he stays a heel and moves on from Kofi Kingston or whatever, it's not going to work. They need to give him some kind of shot of adrenaline, and they need to give him some kind of a solid push too, because they seem like they've got this inability to stick behind him for long. They give him a little bit of a push here and there, and then as soon as he kind of grabs whatever the imaginary brass ring is, then they seem to go like, yeah, but we don't really like him, and then you just kind of like job him out and stuff. And it's a shame, because I think he deserves better, but he's not doing it right now.
Hopefully Dolph Ziggler getting the win tonight shows that he's still got a little bit of life in him, but we'll see where that goes in the future. We had our second tag team match of the evening. The Real Americans, who really are getting a lot of development lately. They've really bolstered up their entrance. They gave them these fancy jackets. They're throwing these flags, charging the ring. I enjoy it a lot, and I'm actually getting more and more behind the Real Americans, a team who maybe 2 months ago, I think everyone was ready just to see split so Antonio Cesaro can go on to bigger things by himself, finally feels like a real tag team. Taking on another team which doesn't so much feel like a real tag team, but hey, it's working enough for now. The Intercontinental Champion, Big E Langston, and Big Jolly Good Santa, Mark Henry. And this guy's actually got a fairly long match. I think it went through a couple commercial breaks. It had a slow start, but before it got to the end, it actually got really exciting. Big E Langston bringing a lot of high impact and fun to it. Antonio Cesaro, of course, always entertaining. Even Jack Swagger having some fun moments throughout this match. Antonio Cesaro doing a cool little slingshot thing leading into Jack Swagger doing his little, what you would call that move, some type of turning around suplex thing. And it ends up ending with Big E Langston getting the big ending for the pin. Big E Langston and Mark Henry, they're trying to build them up, I guess, as contenders for the tag team titles. We'll see how that goes. Tony, how'd you feel about how these tag teams showed themselves this evening?
Well, now that you called him Big Jolly, I kind of want that to be his nickname, kind of like Big Hungry was for Ryback. I like the Mark Henry Big E Langston combo for right now. I don't know if I really want to see them go too far. And I like the Real Americans the way that they are, but at the same time, as much as they're interesting, I don't think that they really need to go that far either. I think that Cesaro is by far the standout of the team, and then Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger is, I don't want to say, it's kind of rude for me to say, not rude, a little overbearing for me to say that it's a complete worthless viewpoint that I have of Jack Swagger, but he's really not that important. You could put anybody else in that spot and it would still be entertaining, I think, because you've got Zeb Coulter and you've got Antonio Cesaro. And
there's been a whole year of build of Jack Swagger being a part of this whole Real Americans thing, though. So at this point, you can't just put anybody in there.
I think that you kind of could, though, because this really isn't focusing too much on the Real American thing anymore. They're not coming out and cutting the promos as much. They're just sort of there and then being entertaining in the ring.
Okay.
I don't know who could fill that spot, but if they were to come into another situation where they need to fire Jack Swagger or something, I think you could replace him and it wouldn't be as jarring of a transition as if, like, obviously if you take Cody Rhodes and Goldust and you need to get rid of one of them, that's going to be huge. That gets rid of that whole gimmick. Or if you have only one of the Usos, it's like, oh, let's pair him up with Evan Bourne. Like, it's just not going to work. But if you were to take another person, maybe like a Zack Ryder or something like that, that's not doing anything, or a Curt Hawkins or whatever, I think you could, with a little bit of work, you could get them over and they could fill that spot.
Steven, you wanted to follow up?
Yeah, the Real Americans is a gimmick. Isn't Jack Swagger. It's Zeb Coulter. What do the Real Americans do? Zeb cuts a promo. They run down, they wrestle, normally lose, and that's it. You can easily find someone to replace Jack Swagger for that. I don't think he's doing anything relevant. I don't think he's even relevant to the team. I definitely agree with Mango. I think you can cut him. I think you need a guy that's a bit bigger than a Zack Ryder or a Curt Hawkins, and I don't mean bigger as in like popularity-wise, but I mean in size. I think so. That's the one thing that Jack Swagger does in that team, if nothing else. He's kind of he's one of the larger size guys in the ring, so he can throw people around and stuff. Works as a heel role, so honestly, I'm ready to see this team split up, and I think the payoff if Antonio Cesaro went face is Zeb Coulter taking a big swing.
Oh my god, no. No way.
You'd mark out if that happened at Mania.
I would be terrified for Zeb Coulter's life.
That's half the fun.
That's a Vietnam veteran, okay? I know you like spitting in the faces of our armed forces.
At least I'm not a tattoo racist.
So you're gonna say spitting in the face of people who aren't cool. I completely expected that when you started saying that.
Alright. Sean, let's pull this back into a different direction here. How do you like in the pairing of Biggie Langs and a Mark Henry? Do you think this has potential for a long-run team, or is this going to be something that we're going to see stick around for a month and eventually see these guys face each other?
Well, wasn't this planned like back months ago before Henry got injured?
I don't know.
Or was that on Scoops?
Shit if I know, man. Possibly.
But yeah, I think if you're going to go the tag team route with Biggie Langston and Mark Henry, I'd say drop the Intercontinental belt. I don't know, someone relevant. But yeah, I can see the Mark Henry and Biggie Langston's tag team going quite far.
Well, let's go
see it going that distance, man.
Let's go to our third tag team match that we actually had of this evening. Ryback-Axel, that's Ryback and Curtis Axel, against the team of Tons of Funk, Sweet Tea, and Brodus Clay. Well, hey, if you like Tons of Funk, unfortunately, this is the last time you're going to see these guys teaming together. Ryback hits the shell shock on Sweet Tea after Brodus Clay refuses to make a tag with him. After the matchup, Brodus Clay attacks Sweet Tea, prompting R-Truth and Xavier Woods, who are conveniently sitting at ringside doing commentary, to run into the ring and make the rescue. After they chase Brodus Clay out, they invite the Funkadactyls into the ring to dance, and nobody gave a shit about Sweet Tea, who was sitting in the corner having to be checked on by medical personnel. And that was the match. Steven, you take this one.
Hey, I know that guy's unconscious in the corner and he's your friend, but do you want to dance with us? Yeah, fuck that guy. I know I said I wanted more mid-card feuds. I just don't give a fuck. I really just could not give a shit about this feud. I don't care that Brodus has turned heel. I'm pretty much lost on all of what Brodus has done, because normally when you have a big guy turn heel, he's normally dominating and ruthless. In this case, he just looks like a bitch. I got no reason to care about Brodus. Xavier Woods, I haven't really seen too much of to be invested, and R-Truth has not been relevant since the Little Jimmy stuff against Cena, so...
Why do you hate people with tattoos?
No, why do you, Peyton?
I don't. I like Brodus Clay, and I like R-Truth. You hate both of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I know. You just hate people associated with hip-hop.
I don't mind Cena.
Okay. Well, anyway. Sean, how are you digging Ryback-Sola? Do you think these guys still have a career if they continue this tag team?
Future Hall of Famers.
Oh, really?
As a team, Ryback-Sola. The greatest tag team name in all of history. Who the fuck come up with that name? Seriously.
I think it was Michael Cole.
Light him up and get him shot.
Oh, goodness gracious. Tony, where are you laying on this whole situation? Are you behind the new Brodus Clay?
I've always liked Brodus Clay, and I hope that he gets something good out of this. I don't know if it's going to end up working, and it doesn't seem like it will at this point, because it's kind of awkward. Not as awkward as the whole Tensai's in the corner, you know, probably dying of internal wounds, and it's just like, somebody call a doctor. That was very awkward. I don't know why they decided to do that, but you know, I like Xavier Woods. I'm not a big fan of R-Truth. I'm not a big fan of Tensai and the Funkadactyls. I kind of would like them to split up and Naomi to just do her own thing and Cameron to maybe just go away. But if Brodus Clay comes out of this looking good and he is a solid upper mid-card guy, maybe, because I don't think he's really going to be a main eventer, I'd like to see him be the one who takes the belt off of Big E. Right now, they're not building him up to be anywhere near that level. And having him continually lose as a big guy is really confusing to me. And it's kind of a shame that we're not going to see Tons of Funk anymore, because I really like that song and I really liked the gimmick that they had overall. But if it all ends up working out, then I'm for it, even if it means that Tensai might get fired.
Well, that begs a question. You know, what happens with this whole thing? Who do the Funkadactyls go to? Who gets to keep that music? I mean, is Sweet T still going to come out playing this gimmick? Or is, for that matter, is Brodus Clay still going to come out to Somebody Call Him a Mama?
I would assume that Tensai, we might not even see him for a while. They might just kind of push him off the side, and if anything, maybe he'll wrestle house shows to that theme and come out by himself dancing, because people won't care because it's a house show.
Mm-hmm.
The Funkadactyls, maybe they'll actually stick around with Xavier Woods. I don't know if he'll get that song. I doubt it. But Brodus Clay, he's probably going to get some stupid, generic rock song.
I'm a bad, bad man.
Oh, God, that song was awful.
Yeah, it
maybe
was.
It'll be like with how Barrett just has him going boom a whole bunch of times obnoxiously. His song will just have him go, gee.
I'd love for Barrett just to walk around with a microphone going boom. For his theme.
Order, order, can I have your attention? Boom, 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 boom.
Here comes the boom, ready or not.
Hey, Ryback got a win.
He did get a win. Yes,
yeah,
he did.
That career, hey, it's going up.
Technically, Curtis Axel got a win, too.
They talked to Titus O'Neil beforehand, and he was like, if you're going to win, make it a win. I'm certainly not winning the poll later on.
God, that NXT number two was fucking sucked.
Yeah, it's pretty sad when the standout guy was Alex Riley, who amounted to a whole bunch of nothing.
I was behind him when he got his initial push, but that's a whole other story.
I was behind him until he came out at WrestleMania 27 with that fabulous bedazzled jacket.
I liked his face push when he split from Miz, but that was about it.
So let's move into... We had CM Punk coming out to the ring, calling out Triple H. I zoned out because this was terrible. Until, rather than Triple H, we heard Shawn Michaels' music. Shawn Michaels comes out. He plays with the crowd mostly throughout this whole thing, actually, and has a lot of fun with them. There's one point where they start a "You sold out" chant to him, and he just stops and he just lets them go and go. And he's like, "Yeah, I knew eventually you would run out of steam." Really, really fun character work there. Eventually, he introduces Punk to his opponents for the evening, The Shield, and we get another WWE fan poll for who CM Punk gets to have as his partners against The Shield. It was the Primetime Players, The Usos, and Los Matadores. You know where my vote went. I, of course, picked up my phone. I went and filed that handy-dandy tutorial that Michael Cole gave me to install the WWE app, and then I launched it, and then I voted for Los Matadores.
It's a good job they gave you that instructions. Otherwise, you would have been lost tonight.
Yeah, every week, too, because somehow I keep losing the app, so I got to keep reinstalling it. It's the damnedest thing. But, yeah, Primetime Players, unfortunately, coming in dead last. Los Matadores, I think, having, like, some 26% of the votes or something, but the winners... The Usos, of course, coming out, backing up CM Punk, who, frankly, why does CM Punk need backup? Didn't I just watch him last night easily dominate the three members of the Shield?
He was the 26%. No fucker uses the app.
But, so, Steven, I know you are one of the biggest haters of these handicap matches, and you also had to be with me thinking this match is absolutely pointless after what we just saw last evening.
One, I just wanted to touch on the Shawn Michaels Punk promo. I think it's a testament to how over Daniel Bryan is, at the fact that Shawn Michaels is getting heat, because the last time they tried to turn him heel, they failed miserably. But to touch on this match, yeah, I'm definitely in the boat of, why the fuck am I watching this when I already know that Punk can defeat all these guys on his own? Shit, giving him one more opponent's just going to overwhelm the Shield now. it's unfair for him to have partners at this point. Just stupid booking. I don't get it. The Shield looked weak coming out of that match, and I know Roman Reigns looked strong tonight with the spear, but I don't know. It just, this whole match just felt like it shouldn't have been on the card, and it seemed so out of place for Shawn to just send down the Shield as well. I don't understand what his placement on the card was for that either.
It was a very awkward use of Shawn Michaels, because he really didn't say anything else. Like I said, I think the whole playing with the crowd thing only padded out his time there, because otherwise I think he maybe would have been there for a whole 20 seconds.
Hey, Punk, here's the Shield.
Yeah, exactly. Sean, were you happy to see HBK tonight, and did you enjoy our six-man tag match?
I kind of missed the Shawn Michaels promo because I was taking a shit at the time.
Oh no, that was CM Punk's part of it.
Why do you hate people with tattoos?
I just hate people with dumb tattoos.
There's nothing wrong with the Pepsi tattoo.
Coke.
But anyways, the six tag matches. Haven't I seen this like the past like 3 weeks? The Shield and the Usos and CM Punk.
Yes, indeed. Tony, did you have a little bit more of a positive outlook through this whole thing?
I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. I mean, and you know what, I didn't just like HBK's part, although it was pretty awesome when he was just like, I knew you'd end up blowing up. Shut your pie holes. I have a car waiting. It's like so demeaning. I love heel HBK. But I also liked Punk's part. I mean, when he threw that little reference out there and said 15-year-old me is probably happy that you kicked me in the face. And, you know, I can look past all that stuff. I can look past the dancing around and assless chaps. I thought that was pretty decent. I liked it better than the match overall.
It was pretty decent. You know, it was okay.
Yeah, you know, for something where it started off a little bit
shaky. You want to get a soda?
It started a little bit shaky, and it could have turned. It could have turned really bad with just Punk cutting another generic promo that he's been doing quite a bit lately. But I think with the inclusion of HBK, it ended up becoming pretty fun. And I'm a big fan of the fact that the Usos won. I don't think that the Primetime Players were Los Matadores or anywhere near as entertaining as the Usos are overall. And I like to see the Usos getting a little bit of credit every once in a while, too. I kind of felt like this poll was sort of WWE's attempt of going, look, these are guys that we don't really know if we should give any kind of push to, so maybe we'll see who they vote for, and then either we job out PTP, or we job out Los Matadores, or Usos. Who do we gonna go for as backup people in the future? And
yeah, but that implies that they remember who was on the show than her week before.
right, guys, before we start digging into the match of the night, we actually have a question submitted to us from the chat room from James Baelish Talks Wrestling. Who do you guys think will be the undisputed heavyweight champion, a title that has to be changed, by the time WrestleMania rolls around? I'm assuming he means who do we think will be the defending champion going into WrestleMania. Steven, who do you think it will be?
One, am I the only one that finds the name a bit silly that you're calling it the WWE World Heavyweight Championship when that would be the World Wrestling Entertainment World Heavyweight Champion?
Can we just call them the World Champion? Or the World's Champion? I like that. That sounds classy.
Just cut it down to the WWE Heavyweight if you want to combine the two names. But having World twice in the name is fucking silly. And you're saying who do I think it is going to be by the time of WrestleMania? Probably John Cena.
Tony?
100% Randy Orton.
Really? Who do you think Orton's opponent will be then?
100% CM Punk.
Wow.
I am without a doubt sticking to my guns on that. I mentioned it over maybe 2 or 3 months ago that was my main theory that was going to end up happening. And I see absolutely nothing, not the slightest shred of evidence that makes me think it's otherwise.
So you're expecting Punk to win the Rumble then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The only thing I'm curious about is who does he eliminate last? And it's not going to be Daniel Bryan, that's what I'm guessing.
Ryback. Steven, actually, let's go back to you, because you said John Cena. Who do you think would win the Rumble and be his challenger then?
Daniel Bryan.
Okay. Okay, I could fox with either of these, actually. So, Sean, who do you expect to be the champion going into WrestleMania?
Daniel Bryan.
Okay, how do you expect him to get a hold of it?
I don't know, some sort of elimination chamber, probably.
Okay, that's an easy way to get it through there. Then who do you expect to win the Rumble and be his contender?
John Cena.
You want John Cena to win a third Royal Rumble?
I can see it.
I could see it, and that's the sad thing. My goodness, I can only hope not.
When you take past Stone Cold Steve Austin, then, with Royal Rumble wins?
Let's see here. James Bales just submitted his answer. I think that Randy will lose the title at Elimination Chamber to Cena, and then Cena will face Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30. So it seems like that's a popular opinion there.
That's the same opinion that I have. That's exactly the way I see it going down.
Oh, Roman Reigns and CM Punk last in the Rumble. That's a good one.
If they gave him the Kane role where he eliminates a whole bunch of guys.
Oh yeah,
you might have to be going with that from now on. That's a damn good suggestion.
Yeah, thank you, Brian the Brain, showing off his title.
So do you think he'd just do the Kane thing where he eliminates a bunch of people, or would he be the Iron Man?
At this point, if there's anybody that could do the monster with a lot of eliminations, it is Roman Reigns. As a matter of fact, in my WWE 2K14, when I went to play the Royal Rumble with Roman Reigns, I obliterated Kane's record with him. I think I got 22 eliminations.
Well, they normally do two things. They have the Iron Man and they have the monster. Do you think he goes for which role do you think he fits into more likely?
I don't see Roman Reigns as an Iron Man.
Mm-mm. You know what I am very hesitant to think that they might do, and I really don't want them to do it? I don't want to see CM Punk in the final four with the three members of the Shield.
Oh, you know what?
That is something
happen.
I'm not a fan of.
I could see the Shield teaming up and eliminating everyone and then it coming down to the Shield and Punk.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen. But Roman Reigns himself, that would be pretty awesome.
So much potential here. And as far as what I think could happen here, gosh, I honestly hope none of the above are the people that we see going into WrestleMania as champion. Who that other person that could come in and step in and be, man, it's tough. You know, Daniel Bryan, I think, is a fine contender to be a guy that can come up and be the champion going in there, but I hope we see a truly fresh face win the Rumble and go in there and face him. That could be a Roman Reigns. That could even be, like, maybe an Antonio Cesaro, I think, would be someone that they could pull into a situation like that. Steven, you had something you want to say?
Well, on my game, Big E won the Royal Rumble.
Okay. Certainly do that. All right, we got a call in coming on to us here. We got Brian Biner joining us via the Skype line. Mr. Brian, you're live on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. What's shaking, dude? Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for, you know, you guys are great. Love the show. You know, of course, last week I couldn't call in. I was having issues with my voice and stuff, so I just you know, listened to the whole show.
Oh, glad you're feeling better then.
Thank you. I just wanted to weigh in on Royal Rumble. they need to go ahead. They need to start go ahead getting the matches set up where we do like figure out who's going to be number one in the Royal Rumble, who's going to be number 30. Personally, I see like Roman Reigns being like either number 5 or number 6 coming into the Rumble match and eliminating at least 12 to 13 different people in the Rumble and being last against CM Punk. Of course, Punk eliminating Reigns to go ahead to go to WrestleMania. I'm up in the air. I don't know if it's going to be John Cena or Daniel Bryan with the undisputed WWE title at that point. So, because of, you got Elimination Chamber first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can actually see Daniel Bryan coming out of Elimination Chamber with the title.
Oh, you know, we just had someone in our personal chat here. They were saying, we all forgot about Sheamus. Sheamus is a wild card player coming into here. What if Daniel Bryan is the champion with Sheamus being the surprise winner at the Royal Rumble? Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan 3, finally getting an opportunity to have a real match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, that's the whole thing. They did the first year, they didn't even do the pre-show match, which was supposed to be the US title. And then the second year was the 2-second bro kick, Sheamus beating Daniel Bryan. I mean, realistically, that should have been a long match. That should have been the match of matches at that WrestleMania. And what do we get? John Cena versus The Rock? I mean, come on. Realistically, Sheamus can go. Sheamus is probably, he's one of my favorite wrestlers as far as, he's got size, strength, and he's got the look of, you know, he's not your typical molded wrestler. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's white and pacey. I get that. But he's a brawler. He's better than most of what's out there. I mean, I wish he wasn't hurt. I wish he was in there right now. But the thing is, I'm kind of glad he's out. Because what would he be doing?
It gives us a chance to miss him too, because he was getting a little bit stale.
Right. And the thing is what did they do? Have him tag teaming with somebody, you know,
he'd probably be tag teaming with Rey Mysterio.
Oh no. I mean, that's the thing is Royal Rumble is it's one of the big four. I mean, they really, I love how they, you know, TLC was great, but once you have that go, the TLC, that first show, like tonight, should be leading right into Royal Rumble. It should be your matches start. Let's get going. Let's not have 15 tag matches. Let's start getting ready for Royal Rumble.
Yeah, well, we got so long to prepare for Royal Rumble. I mean, that was the weird thing about having TLC earlier this month. It's just mid-December. We're already on the road now to Royal Rumble and ergo to WrestleMania. It's going to be a long few months. We got a long time to get these things going, so they don't have to necessarily rush into it. I think this week would have been perfect to have had the Slammies, which is so weird that they had it previously rather than now.
No, because it's in Dallas. I don't want Slammies in Dallas when this is... You know, this is where I live. It can be anywhere else. They can have it anywhere else. I don't want Slammies here. They should have had Hell in a Cell match. They could have done so much. They could have had an Iron Claw match. I don't care. Just the Slammies are stupid. If you're going to do that on SmackDown or even have an extra show just for the Slammy Awards.
Yeah, that could have been fine. That's what they used to do. It used to be sort of like how they do the Hall of Fame now. The Slammies was an extra thing that went on during WrestleMania weekend. But what I'm basically saying is right now is a good time to just have a gimmicky filler show. Just like next week, we're having the Christmas edition of Raw. It's fine to just have something to fill it through. You don't like that? You don't think that's going to be fun?
I like the fact that Bad Santa is Damian Sandow and you got, you know, one of his... Helpers is AJ Lee.
Oh, yes.
Realistically, I mean, come on. It's too much filler, too much crap, too much I mean, don't get me wrong, they did it during the Attitude Era too, but we need sustenance. We need more matches. You got all these wrestlers that we never see on TV that are sitting there in the wings that could easily be your filler. You know, they could easily come out and who cares if it's a 5-minute match, whatever. Let's start filling the card up a little bit more. Let's, you know, if you're going to go down this road of, you know, like Brodus Clay versus Tensai or whatever they're doing there and versus R-Truth versus Xavier Woods, then let's see a little bit more of that. You know, build that up a little bit more. Throw that out there a little bit more. What happened to Los Matadores versus Real Americans? What happened to that feud? Oh. It fizzled in 2 seconds? Fizzled in 2 seconds. It could have feuded for months. They could have built that up to the Zeb Coulter versus
the Bull?
El Burrito. Yes!
That could have been a lot of fun. And, you know, they have so much time on TV. They have the 3 hours of Raw. They got 2 hours of SmackDown. They got Main Event, if you want to count that.
Oh, and I do, because Main Event is actually really good. They screwed up the format. The format was really good when they first put it on the air, where they were doing an insight into the wrestlers, you know, where they were going, and then they would tell you about CM Punk's background or John Cena's background or whoever was wrestling in the main event of that night. And it was actually good. Now they've just, it's like, now they throw 2 matches and the rest is all replay. It's like, no, you know. I could watch this on Raw. I mean, I know it's all the my problem is I guess we're used to when WCW and WWE were going head to head, there was just so much better wrestling. I'm not saying there's not good wrestling now. It just seems like they made each other better, and TNA just can't keep the mustard with WWE.
I don't know, man. If you really go back, most of those shows really did not have a lot of good wrestling on it. In fact, I think today we're spoiled with good wrestling. I think we come to expect it way too much, and we can't accept simple TV squash matches and things like that.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. Attitude Era's wrestling from the wrestling standpoint, it wasn't that good. I think we was all enjoyed it more because wrestling was the in thing back then. It was a lot more of a hotter product, and it was the cool thing. Right now, the storylines aren't as hot. There isn't as many big stars, and that's why we...
But there's so many talented wrestlers, though. That's
yeah, but that's why when we compare it back to the old Attitude Era days, we think it's worse, but not really. We get there's a lot better wrestlers. The whole thing's evolved since then.
Go ahead, Brian.
What a lot of people don't understand is WWE sucked in person. Like, you go to a WWE show back during the Attitude Era, it sucked. They did all their production was for TV. It wasn't really for the live, it wasn't for the people in front of them. Where WCW, their TV show sucked, but man, in person, the wrestling was so much better. And it was like, because all we did, I followed both shows for 3 years where we would go from WCW to WWE to WCW to WWE, and we followed and we went to every pay-per-view and every Thursday Night Thunder and every Monday Night Raw, and it was like you would not believe the production values were so much different for two companies that were doing basically the same thing.
Oh my goodness. Just the crowd involvement for WCW back then was incredible. I mean, they would constantly be running the camera through the crowd of fans. Like, they would show someone holding up a sign up close or dancing, some skanky looking woman that come dressed in her harlot outfit. They'd show off her for a little bit. And then the best thing, of course, was the Nitro parties. They would actually go into people's homes with cameras and show off people just hanging out and watching Nitro together. Man, I wish they did more stuff like that.
The thing is, like, WCW used to, like, once they found out we were going to show, they start giving us tickets. They just started giving, here, come to the pay-per-view. We want you on TV. We want to show you guys on TV as much as possible. We want the crowd involvement, so we're going to have the wrestlers come right by you guys where you guys are sitting so people can see you guys every week. And, like, sometimes the wrestlers would be a little – some of the wrestlers were nicer than others, of course, but WWE found out we were going every week, and they're like, well, you know, we wouldn't mind a little involvement, but – you know, but once WWE saw us on WCW TV, everything changed. We started getting free tickets. It was fun. I mean, it was 3 years of on the road following from city to city, and you'd be like, you get tired. I mean, after a while, I was tired of wrestling, but it was so much fun because we met all the wrestlers. We met all the all the pre and post production people. We met those people, and it was a lot of fun.
The golden days are not coming back, is I think a lot of things that people have to accept. You know, wrestling has continued to evolve with the times, and in general, things are just not the way they used to be.
Those were the days.
Yeah, don't. I'm never doing that again, Brian. Let's come back to Raw here for a moment. Your high point and your low point for tonight's broadcast.
High point, Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton. That was such a great match. Why the low blow? I don't understand, but actually I do, because he's a heel. That's what he's supposed to do. And it was for the title, by the way. It was for the title. They really didn't mention it. They didn't even mention it during the match, but I could have sworn, like, before they made that match, that they said it was for the title. But you could tell that Randy Orton was going to win. Low point, I don't know if they're... Divas tag match, I guess, would be my low.
These poor women. Always throw it into
them. I'm sorry, but I don't understand. They give them 20 minutes at the pay-per-view and can't give them 5 on Monday Night Raw.
It's because Alicia Fox was in the match.
Yeah, but she's actually a good wrestler. No. I mean, she's better than some of those hags they got there at WWE. I mean, sorry to say it, knockouts are better. The TNA, if they just ran women all the time, I think they could actually take away some of WWE.
Wait, TNA's still in business?
Yeah, well, barely.
What's a TNA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recall hearing something about TNA once where they were like trying to do some other show on Monday night, but I guess it went away pretty quickly. I never heard of it again.
Hogan decided to do a show up against Raw, and it did a...
Was that the one with the midgets? Or the vanilla midgets?
No, actually it was a live TNA show with like their whole cast of characters, you know, AJ Styles and all that. And it did a .1 in the rating scale. Like, that's like so low. It's like lower than an infomercial.
Oh. I'll have to check it out after I finish watching, I don't know, something that's not going to make me want to hate wrestling.
Paint dry.
Yeah, good luck. Gouge your eyes out with Barbie dolls. And
yeah, you know, funny enough, TNA is actually coming around to my area in a couple weeks. And they actually did this really cool cross-promotion thing with Tommy Dreamer's new promotion, House of Hardcore, where they had Bully Ray show up at an event they had at the Poughkeepsie Civic Center. And I might actually be attending a TNA event. Funny enough, for all the shit-talking I always do, I may actually go in there. All right.
You know what, actually, I would recommend? I've been to 2 TNA live events since they started in, you know, 10 years ago or whatever it is. And I would actually recommend their live event. It's not WWE, but it's not bad.
Well, and here's the thing. It's not even just like a regular old live event. It's one of those you know, pay-per-views that aren't pay-per-views that they do now.
Oh, the post, the post pay-per-view, I guess you would call it.
I don't know what the hell you would call it, but they're calling it one night only, and I guess the whole thing.
Oh, one night only, yeah.
So that'll
and
be
nobody cool. pay so and nobody getting, view.
So what are you getting? So what are you getting for your one night only?
I have no idea. I haven't seen any promotion as far as what the card is going to be there. This is being recorded in advance, so this isn't going to be a live pay-per-view. This is something that they're going to record on a Monday night, actually, so I might not be available for that Raw show. I have to figure out how that's going to happen, if I'm even going. And then it'll be eventually shown. I don't know if it'll be later that week or if it'll be in a few weeks. I don't know what the deal is. I'm assuming they're going to want to get out as soon as possible. I don't know what the hell their model is, but I might actually go to it just because it's only about 10 minutes away from me. Poughkeepsie's always a fun place to go and see shows. A lot of wrestling history there, and hopefully they'll give us a good show.
Hey. Yeah, I think they will. I mean, Poughkeepsie, yeah, you know. I think we went through there one time to see something. WCW, and you know, there's some nice people up there, and that's actually a decent venue. So, you know, it's a shame. It's like they need to come back to Fort Worth more often. I mean, they always do Dallas, and they don't come to Fort Worth. It's like you forget that this is where WCCW was, guys. You know, you guys talk about Smordorium, but you can't make mention of Will Rogers Coliseum or, you know... Anything that happened in Fort Worth ever, please, you know?
Man, it just shows how we're in, like, completely different parts of the world, Brian, because I'm here in southern New York, which is WWE country to its core. I mean, I live about 30 minutes away from the WWE headquarters over in Connecticut.
So, oh, man.
I'm 100% the blood of WWE. That's just the way this area has been. All right, Brian, it's been
so, yeah, you...
Go ahead, finish.
Have you ever seen a WCW event?
Never.
Match?
No, I don't think they even ever came to this area. That's why when you said a WCW event here, I was like, I don't think they've ever been to this part of New York. I think they went out to, like, Buffalo, but not here.
So you only got to see Kerry Von Erich when he was Texas Tornado, and that was it.
I didn't even get to see that because I was only, like, two.
You children.
Yeah, children. I was born in 86, man. You know, Shawn Michaels is the greatest wrestler of all time to me. I'm late.
Because he is.
Yeah, yeah, indeed.
You miss so much wrestling history because you need to go back and there's so much. I mean, gotta understand, WCW was like the it was what we had. I mean, it was the Von Erichs, it was the Freebirds, it was, you know, Abdul the Butcher, it was Mean Mark Henry, you know, Mark Calaway and Kane before they were Kane, and Stone Cold Steve Austin before he was Stone Cold, and, you know, Mick Foley was here for a short while before he went off to Japan and started doing all that stuff. There's a lot of history in WCCW and all that, and of course now Vince McMahon owns it all, and it's a shame.
Once again, the glory days aren't going to come back, unfortunately.
I know. I'm old, and it's curmudgeon time, you know. Not that old.
All right, Brian. It's been an excellent call, man. We're going to let you go for this evening, though.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Brian. Have an awesome night. So, huge thanks to Brian Biner. Brian the Brain in the chat room called in, giving us a fun conversation here. Anyone else out there you care to join us, you can dial in on your phone, area code 760-512-7247. You can join us via Skype, just like Brian did, clicking the little Skype icon on our broadcast page. And, of course, the chat room, always on fire, having lots of fun there. All right, guys, let's. We got two more matches to run through here. We got the Divas matchup, the Bellas teaming with Natalya Neidhart to go against Alicia Fox, Tamina Snuka, and AJ Lee. Tamina ends up hitting the move of this entire match with this freaking sick, nasty super kick onto Nikki Bella while she was going for her torture rack finisher. AJ Lee follows it up with a Shining Wizard and getting the pin. It wasn't a terrible Divas match. I definitely wouldn't rate it as a low point on the show. It wasn't as good as last night's Divas match, which I think was absolutely fantastic. But as far as Divas matches of the year 2013 go, I would put this on the more than acceptable scale. Tony, would you agree?
Yeah. I thought it was pretty decent. That super kick was awesome. That was the highlight of the match.
Yeah, Steven?
I hope she hit her hard with that kick.
Oh, be nice.
I just felt irritated for some reason all of a sudden. But yeah, it was a fun match for a Divas match, and the ending was pretty good.
Sean?
I think Tamina should keep the super fly kick.
Yes, the super fly kick would be an excellent name for it. All right, fellas, main event time. Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. Maybe for the title, maybe not. It seems like we're getting different answers all over the place. Maybe someday we'll figure this out. Doesn't really matter, though, because in the end, after a long, hard-fought match, Randy Orton takes the cheap victory by low-blowing Daniel Bryan for the disqualification. John Cena ends up coming down for a save, I guess, but Orton dominates over him as well, and Randy Orton asserts himself as the unified champion of champions. And we go off the air once again with Randy Orton holding both titles high. Sean, it's the age of Orton once again. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, the age of disappointment. I'm done with that. I don't know why we still got the two belts. When do you reckon we're going to get a new belt design, or do you reckon they're just going to keep the new WWE belt?
I would assume after all the money and pomp and circumstance they gave that new WWE title that they're going to keep it. But who knows? Maybe they will give up on it right away. You know, Triple H is changing lots of things, and maybe he doesn't like that belt. It is his belt, though. Randy Orton's just holding it for him. Steven, how do you feel about our main event this evening? Do you think it was a great match between these two? Or based on the fact that we've seen these guys fought many times before, were you left wanting more?
The fact that it wasn't on a pay-per-view, I didn't mind the fact that we got it because we've seen it so many times. It didn't stop it from being a good match, and I was entertained throughout. And just so everyone's clear, it definitely wasn't a title match tonight, because JBL said on commentary that if Daniel Bryan wins tonight, he solidifies himself as the number one contender. So that pretty much puts a nail in that coffin of conversation. But yeah, it was a good match. It was an abrupt ending, but we all kind of saw some type of fuck finish. Most of us thought it'd be the Wyatt family, but hey, they didn't go with the predictable route, and we got what we got. And I'm partly thinking we might get a triple threat at Royal Rumble, but at the same time, probably not, because Daniel Bryan's going to, I assumed, was going to be in the Royal Rumble. So what I'm liking currently right now with this whole main event title picture is I'm left guessing still a little. So overall, fun way to go end the show.
Tony, your thoughts for tonight's closing segment for Monday Night Raw in the beginning of Orton 2.0.
I liked it. I thought it was a pretty good match. It's not as entertaining as the matches that they've had in the past, but it still was what a main event should be. It should be something that the fans are really interested in. It should be something that feels like it's worth a damn, instead of when we get those main events every once in a while that's kind of just like a throwaway Divas match and then a promo or something. Even though I did like the last week's final segment, I kind of think a main event match that delivers is the way that you should go more often than not. So I was a fan of it.
Do you think it's properly ushered in Randy Orton and solidified him as a new champion, or the champion of champions?
No, he needs to beat John Cena at the Royal Rumble first.
And then just to lose it to him the next month?
No, because he's not.
Oh, that's right. You think Daniel Bryan and CM, or excuse me, he's going to hold on to it to face CM Punk.
He's last beating Daniel Bryan in the Elimination Chamber.
Wow, you're getting really in depth with your your booking. As you do. I always forget about that. You always come up with these really elaborate long-term plans.
How often do those blow up in your face?
Not as often as you would think. You would think every once in a while, like all the whole the house of cards would fall down, but I'm sticking to my guns on this one.
Didn't you just have one of those recently? Like, I think you were trying to make your predictions for, maybe it was even TLC, right after Survivor Series, and they changed something. You're like, oh, fuck. Now we got to completely redraw everything.
Every once in a while, they'll do one little thing different. Like, I think that it was the Survivor Series thing. I think it was like they added, like, the Usos into the mix or something, and then I was just like, there goes everything.
Yeah, for 3 weeks, you were pissed off the way they was arranging everything.
Right. They're messing around with my cards.
All right, guys, let's go around and do the high point, low point for all you gentlemen. Of course, if you're in the chat room, feel free to throw us your high point or low point. We'll read it out here on the show. Steven, your high point, low point for tonight's Monday Night Raw.
The high point has got to be Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. As far as match quality goes, it was fantastic for just a Raw show, so I really enjoyed that. For my low point, I'm going to say the CM Punk Usos versus Shield match. Not because the match was necessarily bad, but just because of its relevancy and point of being on the card. It didn't accomplish anything, and unless they expand more on CM Punk and Shawn Michaels next week, the whole thing was pointless. So that's my low point.
Mr. Sean Walker, your high point and your low point for tonight's Monday Night Raw.
High point, no Alberto Del Rio on Monday Night Raw.
Woo! Wow, I didn't even notice. That's great.
Low point, Jerry the King Lawler back on the commentary.
Oh, goodness. Tony?
I actually had my high point was no Alberto Del Rio either.
Nice.
And it's got a little exclamation point down next to it from my notes from earlier. Another honorable mention for the high point, when Big Show slapped Mark Henry's chest and he made a big white handprint from the powder that he uses. I thought that was very awkward and funny. Some honorable mentions for the low points, Big Show slobbering.
Ugh.
The commentary team doing a selfie,
yeah,
which I thought was just ridiculous. But if anything, I'd probably have to give it to that whole Battle of the Sandas thing with Rick Ross and Billy Bob Thornton. More specifically, that one creepy kid. He gets the official low point.
Rick Ross and Billy Bob. Did you just call Damian Sandow Billy Bob Thornton?
Bad Santa.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Okay, I get it. Well, see, now I'm going to do my high point low now, and I'm going to actually say that my high point was those Santa skits. I love them, specifically the Bad Santa one with Damian Sandow. The sound effects and all the little production things, the weird filter that went on the screen, but it only came on for when Damian Sandow was talking, or it came out later too when the kid was on Mark Henry's lap and he said, "I heard they're going to be canceling Christmas," and all of a sudden everything went black and white and all like creepy, dark sound effect music. I thought these were a lot of fun. I like when they do these. When they do these Hollywood, I don't want to say Hollywood level productions, but when they actually take the time to stage something and put all these extra effects into it and make it a full feature rather than just, hey, let's put these guys on a stage and have them talk into a microphone. Because I think wrestling is capable of being much more than just that dirty, low-level stuff. I think you can bring Hollywood-minded people, and I know a lot of people are really against bringing them into the writing team, but I think there is a spot to have some of them and having skits like these every once in a while.
Well, I appreciate it when they let me know a week in advance not to watch Raw.
I can't tell if that's the optimistic way to look at things or the pessimistic.
My low point, I am going to go with Dolph Ziggler winning with a roll-up. I think that was pretty damn pathetic. And I'll also go with the Shield and the CM Punk Usos match, just because I probably tuned out of that match more than any other point in the show. And once again, it's a sad thing when CM Punk makes me stop watching two nights in a row. Yep. All right, guys. So that's going to wrap us up here for talking about tonight's Monday Night Raw show here on the NPR Raw Post Show. All we got left is to let these gentlemen here tell you about all the wonderful things they got to tell you all about. Steven, why don't you start us off?
You know what? I haven't got too much to talk about because unanimous decision that's normally 10 o'clock every Tuesday on Dream Elite will not be happening this week because of stupid retail and my job at Christmas time. So, and also addicted to anime's episodes up in the air until I get my work schedule sorted. So I got not much going on, so I'll pass it on to you guys.
Before I move it on, I just want to make sure that I get Corey Krause's high point, low point here. He said high point, main event, low point, Cena's opening promo. Not bad decisions on that one. Sean Walker, what do you got to tell the world about?
I've got episode 7 on my Batman Let's Play coming up onto my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Shaughnessy1989. And just follow me on the Twitter at Shaughnessy2K37.
Mr. Tony Mango.
All right, guys. SmarkOutMoment.com is where you can find the archived version of the show, and you can find everything else that I got going on from my end of things, including my podcast itself, Smack Talk, which with the next episode we're going to be doing the full rundown of the TLC card and everything that happened on that event. Next week, we're going to be doing the end of the year Smark Out Moment Awards. So if you want to send us in your choices for that, go ahead and check that out at smarkoutmoment.com and look out for that coming along. You can check out my Bleacher Report articles, follow me on Facebook and Twitter, so on and so forth. If you go to smarkoutmoment.com, you'll go everywhere.
Oh, iRadius, I'm sorry. I didn't see your light, low point, high point here. Where do we got it here? Everything just kind of blends into this chat room. I don't see where it says it. I feel like a jerk. Now I'm wasting all this time.
You are a jerk.
Yeah, same here. Everyone has something about signing a prenup. I didn't see that on Raw. Big Show signed a prenup? What?
Big Show signed a prenup.
iRadius, great storytelling, Brian and Randy. Tonight, absolutely. I see a lot of praise going on for the main event this evening. And I can't find... I'm sorry, iRadius. I can't find him in this chat room. Everything moves so fast in here. iRadius got stuff in there, too. But he definitely praised the main event. Lots of love for that. So thank you, everyone, for listening this evening. If you enjoy the show, please tune in every Monday night here on Mega Powers Radio, megapowersradio.com. Like us on Facebook, our new Facebook page exclusively for this, facebook.com/rawpostshow. Yeah, that's nice and easy to remember. Facebook.com/rawpostshow. Brand new page, starting to get things rolling on there. So please be one of the early adopters and get us started. Also, be sure to join our official Facebook fan group at facebook.com/groups/themegamaniacs. That's the Megamaniacs on Facebook. You can even search for it and find it. That's where we'll always be talking all things wrestling. We'll be posting pictures and memes and funny questions and all the other things we want to put in there to enjoy ourselves. And also, please like the Mega Powers Radio page, facebook.com/megapowersradio, and subscribe to the YouTube, youtube.com/megapowersradio. If you didn't get the name, I probably said about 20 times, pardon me, and you can find it in all those places. So thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you to Steven Huego, Tony Mango, and Sean Walker for joining me this evening. Have a good, fantastic, wonderful night. It's a gavel.
Mallet.
Gavel.
Mallet.
Gavel.